Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. The Body Politic documentary feature is a harbinger of hope in a country plagued by gun violence. Brandon Scott is a young mayor who grew up during Baltimore's most troubling years and sets out with unwielding idealism to change the course of his battered and beloved city. I'll leave it there because there's a lot to talk about. This is a terrific documentary film called The Body Politic. We're joined today by the director, Gabriel Francis Paz Goodenough. Gabriel, welcome to Film School Radio.
Hi, Mike. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Again, as I said in the introduction, a terrific documentary film. I think for people who love documentary films and have watched a fair amount, they've seen maybe Street Fight from a few years ago. There's films that are similar in the approach of following someone around as a politician who is trying to do the right thing. To me, this is one of the very best I've seen for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is Brandon Scott himself. He is a magnetic, charismatic politician and person, and the sense that you get from him is, having lived in Baltimore, he lives and breathes what he is talking about. How did you get involved? How did you start following Brandon Scott, and what put you onto this story?
I am a Baltimorean, or what we sometimes call ourselves, a Baltimorean, born and bred, and have grown up with a love for the city that gave me life. It is the thing that I love more than any non-human thing on the planet. And for about 30 years, I was a camera person, starting mainly as a camera assistant and then working my way up to someone that holds a camera on their shoulder. And I specifically did documentary work, handheld documentary work. But it was really my own sort of looking death in the face on my own level that brought me to making this film. In 2019, I was diagnosed with bone cancer. I lost the upper part of my right leg, and it sort of ended my career as a handheld camera person. And I wanted to keep my love of film going, and wanted to combine it with the thing that I loved the most, which was Baltimore. My own personal trauma about understanding why violence has chased and affected our city so much. So I wanted to make a documentary understanding that. And the vehicle that I wanted to choose was following politicians. So from my hospital bed, I applied for a grant and I got it. That was sort of the beginning of it all. But really for me personally, and a lot of other filmmakers that are mostly Baltimore based that helped me make this film, who have lost friends from gun violence, who've had family members killed in gun violence, we just really wanted to understand why. You know, why is it so hard to heal, specifically as a city of Baltimore, and then on the larger level as a country, from this plague of gun violence?
I noticed that as part of your team of people that have been a part of making The Body Politic, that one of them is Marilyn Ness, who I was fortunate enough to have on for her documentary, Charm City, and again, about Baltimore. That's what comes across in the film, just what you described, a love of the city, a love of this place, the people in it. Let's talk a little bit about how Brandon Scott got to be mayor of Baltimore.
Marilyn Ness, amazingly talented filmmaker and a sage and a guide in this process for us making this film, made a film called Charm City. Amazing, amazing documentary about Baltimore.
Yeah.
And Brandon, I was at that point a city council person on the east side of the city. And he played a minor role in the film, but he was a very charismatic, magnetic personality. A good friend of mine, John Benham, shot Marilyn Ness's, he was one of the DP on Marilyn Ness's documentary, Charm City. And at around that same time, when I was going through my own health issues, I was following another candidate, Sheila Dixon, who was running for mayor. So John and I, who are good friends, decided, hey, let's follow a few of these candidates, right? And let's see what happens. And I love Street Fight, was interested in making an election film. And the number one issue in Baltimore City For any candidate was gun violence reduction. And they all sort of had different pathways of doing it. So Brandon was actually one of five people that we started following in this film. It was May of 2020. If the year is wrong, I think it's May of 2020. Obviously, the heinous murder of George Floyd happened, and that really changed everything. It changed everything in Baltimore City, and it changed everything in the country as a whole. And that shifted voter turnout dramatically and got a lot of new voters, a lot of younger voters to the polls. And that pushed Brandon Scott to the win. You know, actually, the first night of the election, when they started doing the counts, it took 7 days to count the votes. You know, in the beginning, Brandon, I think, was down by 3,000 votes. And 7 days later, he was up by about the same amount and he won the election. At that point, myself and John and a bunch of other folks that were making the film decided that we really need to follow Brandon into office. We really need to know what change looked like from the inside, what it looked like from the government. So we ended up really essentially making two films. We made this election film, and then we made this film about the first year in office of Brandon Scott.
He seems completely comfortable with a camera in his space, if you will. He has such an easy charisma about him that I can see why you would find him to be such a compelling person to want to document. And how would you describe his style of governance?
I mean, first he's extremely young.
How old is
He's a
he?
millennial first.
Okay.
Well, when he got in office, I think he had, at that point, he had turned 30, 30, he was 36.
Okay.
Don't quote me. His birthday is, God, I don't even remember exactly when his birthday is. It's in the spring, so it's sort of based on that. But he was exceptionally young, and he's a young guy that grew up in the three strikes you're out, war against drugs, escalated police, escalated incarceration, America of the end of the 20th century, beginning of the 21st century, right? So he was coming to office with that, and he also grew up in one of the most underserved, over-policed neighborhoods in the city of Baltimore. So all of that combined really created for Brandon a sense of what he wanted to do in office. I think really the most unique thing about Brandon, and the thing I give him the most, accolades for, is that his push, specifically in the film, is he's dealing with this long-term problem, which is the epidemic of gun violence, right? We've done all these short-term, quick fix, status quo-oriented solutions in gun violence. And from his personal experience and the experience of a lot of data, is that it wasn't working. The last 30 years of, police-centric, prison-centric, jail-centric methods to lower gun violence and murder through gun violence wasn't working. He wanted to do something different. He wanted to do long term. And that really doesn't do work well with politics, which is a short-term game. And for me, that was really an amazing thing.
Yeah, and I want to put a little bit of a frame around what you were talking about as Brandon was growing up, what he the time frame, because you said prior to the beginning of the 21st century. That is really because I believe this problem, this issue around policing and crime and the politics around it are multi-political in terms of this landscape. This was the Bill Clinton era. This was the three strikes era, as you described it. But this is when tough on crime got Democrats elected. And at with damn the torpedoes, what the consequences we had to deal with for, well, we've been dealing with for decades and decades, but the immediate impact of that was, as I remember it to be, was devastating. More prisons than universities were being built here in California. I think at one time it was 20 prisons to one university were built during that period of time. So this is an issue. This is no politician is not going to get a lot of votes for being tough on crime. That's just a kind of an axiom in politics. So for him to step out in front of something like this, something that is politically radical in a way, but in terms of the sociology around crime, around poverty, it's not. That's what makes what Brandon Scott is doing so refreshingly damn the torpedoes as to the politics of it. I am going to be able to live with myself, as he says in the film, right? Let's talk about that sort of political courage, if you will, or however you would choose to do to characterize it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things to talk about that in terms of that, and I'll try to stay on point. But
That's all right.
it wasn't Republicans that were pushing these three strikes you're out policing oriented solutions. And personally, even as a filmmaker, I've spent most of my life working with police and military. Some of my best friends are cops. This is and Brandon Scott will even say it too. This is not a defund your police politician nor film. This is really about what we're doing is not working. How do we do something that works, right? But the real thing that got me in the film was here is a young guy who's a politician, and here and now, every day, people are dying, and he's getting the phone calls from mothers that are crying and relatives that they just lost their loved ones, right? And he is basically saying that I'm trying to do the thing that's going to keep your grandkids and other kids from being hurt and killed by gun violence. I'm trying to do the long-term thing. But right now, in the here and now, there's not a ton that he can do. And that on a personal level for me, even much more than just a political level, was just absolutely revolutionary. Here is this guy who's sort of willing to give it all, and it very much that is the report card of the mayor in the city of Baltimore is what is the murder rate. And his thing was like, we got to do something different, right? We can't keep doing what we're doing, because really, in terms of what the numbers are saying, is that if we keep doing what we're doing and creating this redundant system of trying to put a short-term band-aid on a long-term wound, we're actually going to make it worse, right? And that to me was amazing and very courageous.
Absolutely. And there's so much more here, by the way. I just do want to remind our listeners that we're speaking with the director and producer of this terrific film called The Body Politic, and that would be Gabriel Francis Paz Goodenough. And the film, by the way, the film is going to be available. How can people see The Body Politic?
There's a ton of ways. Right now, we're just coming out of the festival. We still have a few festivals left, but we're starting our global theatrical premiere in New York, at an amazing place called DCTV Firehouse Cinema in
Absolutely.
Lower Manhattan. And then we go out to LA to Lamley's on North Hollywood on October 18th to the 24th. After that, we'll be on POV. We'll be on public television. So we'll be available at, 95% of the households in the United States on an amazing documentary program called POV on November 25th. We'll also be able to stream on all PBS apps
Right.
at that time as well.
Including Black Public Media, which is a kind of an adjunct to PBS as well. And congratulations on that's John Alpert's outfit there at in New York City, the DC TV Firehouse Theater.
Yep.
Fantastic. What a great supporter, what a great filmmaker, but what a great supporter of documentary filmmakers. Oh, great to hear you're out here at the Lemley. You said the NoHo, North Hollywood Lemley.
No. Yep. The NoHo 7. Yeah,
Seven,
we're
yeah.
out there, and we're having Q&As throughout all of the screenings at the different theaters too. So you can come out and see me and see some of the participants in the film.
Fantastic. And I want to avoid giving too much of the film away, but I think this film, in addition to getting to know Brandon Scott, getting to know the people around him, which I do want to talk about, some very courageous people around him, very dedicated people, including Erica Bridgeford, Shantae Jackson, Dante Johnson, and others. There are so many people in the film that will in so many ways will have gone thankless for the work they've done from those who don't know. Those who do know understand how difficult the work is and how dedicated you have to be. But Shantae Jackson is certainly an extraordinary person in the and she comes across that way in the film. Let's talk a little bit about her.
Yeah, about Shantae, who runs GVRS for the
Yeah.
mayor, 100%. Yeah, so Shantae came from the corporate world and was put in charge of the mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety, right? It's sort of an umbrella organization in city government that is really in charge of this kind of long-term change, right? There's violence interrupters, there's people that have previously incarcerated folks mostly that have come back to the neighborhoods in which they're from to try to help other folks lead away from a life of violence, right? There's a bunch of different institutions and entities that this office that Shante is in charge of is leading boots on the ground out in the city of Baltimore to try to keep people from hurting each other. Shante also herself has had family members that she's lost to violence. So Shante is in this position too, where she's really getting to battle some of the demons that have affected her own personal life. And she's really out there on the streets with a bunch of other folks trying to heal the city.
There's a moment in the film where she's speaking to the city council, the assembled people there in the city hall, and she's recounting how this program that has been implemented to harm reduction, ways of going about keeping violence from occurring, has been successful. It seems to be moving in the right direction. And she's suddenly peppered with questions about why hasn't it been more successful and why isn't it everywhere when it took so much to get this program to a point where it was even being implemented. And suddenly she's getting it from all sides as to why not more. And at least my impression was I don't know what she was processing in her mind, but it felt like she's saying, "Are you kidding? I just gave you some really good news, and you're attacking me. Am I, again, is that feel like what was going on, or is that something completely different?"
No, you 100% are. I mean, I think in this country we have a huge issue with honesty, so there's a program called GVRS, which, that's the one thing I'm not in love with a lot of cities. They love acronyms, but it stands for Group Violence Reduction Strategy. And it's this idea of getting all of these entities together, being it the juvenile police, community organizations, churches, all these entities together to basically identify the groups in the city that are the highest rate of either committing acts of violence or having violence committed on them, right? So when somebody gets shot in the city of Baltimore, they instantly map who that person is, like who their contacts are, who their friends are. So they can very quickly, using data, tell who they really think is at the highest propensity to be a victim or a perpetrator of violence. And what they do is they offer those folks, hey, we're here to help you in any way you can create a pathway away from a life of violence. But if you don't, then we're going to bring the full force of the law on you, right? If you are going to be a perpetrator of violence, we're going to do everything we can to protect you and make sure that doesn't happen. But if we need to, we'll put you away. And just to get this program implemented was just like this huge moving mountains thing. And it was started to work. It's starting to work in the film. And Shante is up in front of basically, the city council and a bunch of politicians whose also their jobs are at stake because of violence in their communities. And many of them are extremely frustrated and are saying the long-term thing, okay, that makes sense, but we need something short-term. We need something right now. And they're really asking for more policing, right? More people to be arrested. And Shante is saying, almost beating her head against the wall, saying, we've done that, We're trying to do something different, but we got to have faith. We got to hold on and know that this is going to work.
It was just such a moment in the film, but you can understand politicians or anyone wanting the immediacy of something effective to suddenly appear for them to be able to use. But you're right, the nose under the tent is more police, which again, demonstrably, while it can be effective in terms of building community relationships with the people in these communities, if you have effective policing, it's also often the cudgel, it's often the club that continually perpetuates this cycle of violence. And as you described, it's described in the beginning of the film. And as we've been talking about the three strikes era, just the crackdown, so more police. That's what we need is more police. And it's just not effective. Well, I was good. I'm glad you said that because that's the way it felt. And the woman who is I'll call her the healer, is that Erica? Do I have that? Is that Erica?
Yep, that's Erica Bridgeford.
Yeah,
Yes.
what an amazing person she is.
Yeah, Erica is a sage. You know, Erica is this amazing person who started something in the film. It's called Baltimore Ceasefire 365. Now the name has been changed because they wanted to focus on their goal, less on what they wanted to get rid of, and it's now called the Baltimore Peace Movement. But it's this group of individuals founded, co-founded by Erica Bridgeford, that goes out to every single location in the city where someone is killed, and blesses the site, right? To take the site back from murder, right? To put positivity and love back into every space. And they also do something every quarter, which is they do these peace weekends where they ask people in the city to just concentrate on healing and on positivity and on not hurting each other. And those weekends have been shown to drop violence in the city 40%. So she's also a good friend of Brandon Scott, in a lot of ways, his spiritual guide. So Erica is another sort of avenue, you know, that we are able to get out there in the city of Baltimore and really see what's happening and really see this battle for the soul of the city.
Well, congratulations on The Body Politic. And I'm so glad to hear the theatrical run, particularly now that I hear that you're going to be at the Firehouse Theater in New York City, and then out here in Southern California at the NoHo North Hollywood Limley Theater. And you said you've also got a Q&A lined up for that weekend as well. So.
So Eric and I will be out there on the 19th Saturday and the 20th Sunday. I think it's 7:20 and 1 o'clock on Sunday, and we'll have a Q&A there too, and we'll have some special folks there with us, talking about this whole idea of violence reduction.
My congratulations. It's just a terrific film, and I'm so happy that it's getting the run it is and the POV run and all, and I'm sure streaming and all of the rest of it will be successful. It's just a terrific film, so congratulations. Again, the film is called The Body Politic, and we've been speaking with the director and producer, Gabriel Francis Paz Goodenough. Thank you so very much for your time today.
Thank you, Mike.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.